Okay, so very b'kitzur, in last week's parasha, we had a whole chumash share in it. You can take a listen if you'd like. But there was one interesting question that I came across from Shimshon Pinkus. He had the following question. If you look in the psukim, the way the Torah describes, Moshe Rabbeinu reminds the Jewish people of how the world looked when we were in the Midbar. And it says, your clothing never worn out, your shoes never grew, you didn't have to go clothing shopping, you didn't have to go grocery shopping, you had mon, you had grocery, you had everything you needed. If you ever have to go clothing shopping with kids, you know it's a horrific experience. And I'm not even talking about the money. I go with my wife, I get the privilege of going shoe shopping for the kids. Not me, but I've seen people walk out of the shoe store with a bill of $1,200, $1,300. I was a pile of shoes, $1,200, and that's after 4 or 5 hours of fighting with the kids in the store. So it's not an experience. You can imagine if we didn't have to do it in the Midbar, it was talking a big brach. So for Ektim Shimshon Pinkus, if so, how did the Jewish people of the Midbar be mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah? If everyone's physical needs were met, so how can you do tzedakah? So he comes up with a teretz. He says, you see from over here an amazing yesod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu structured it like that on purpose. Because we know the people in the Midbar had to die out. They sinned, they had to die out. If there would have been an option of tzedakah, they would have been saved under the banner of tzedakah tatzal mimavis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu structured it in a way that there was no option for tzedakah. That's his pshat. I like his pshat only because it brings out obviously the importance of giving tzedakah. What I don't like about his pshat is because his kasha, I don't think is a kasha from the first place. First of all, if you look in Rishonim, there's a ritva in Kedushin. Maybe we'll get to it one day. The ritva writes that they never mekayim the mitzvah of matzah all the years in the Midbar. Why? Because the halacha is matzah has to come from the 5 grains. They didn't have 5 grains in the Midbar. They had money in the Midbar. So the ritva assumes for Davar Pasha they were not mekayim matzah all the 40 years they were in the Midbar. There's other Rishayim that hold they were never mekayim sukkah in the Midbar. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, Leman Yedu. What do you mean, Leman Yedu? They know, they lived it. The whole purpose of a sukkah is to remind us that weren't there. They were there. They didn't need a reminder. So many Rishayim, the big Macholikis Rishayim, whether or not the 40 years they were in the Midbar, did they have the mitzvah of sukkah? So the kasha doesn't bother me so much to assume that there were certain mitzvahs that taka weren't noyig v'zman ha-midbar. That's one thing I have with his kasha. And the other thing I have is I think the kasha never gets off the ground, because even in Temtzoloima there was no physical giving of tzedakah monetarily. We all know tzedakah doesn't only come with writing a check. We know tzedakah comes with time. A person gives away his time to another Jew, gives someone a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen to. That's also tzedakah. And I have a raya that there was definitely tzaris in the Midbar. How do I know there was tzaris in the Midbar? We know the famous Medrash. Medrash tells us that when Aaron HaKohen died, there were rows and rows. One Medrash says 80,000 little babies, all named Aaron, that were Malava Aaron at his Leviah. So the Medrash says, why were there 80,000 babies named Aaron? So the Medrash says, because all the couples that had Shalom Bayis problems, Aaron was the Shalom Bayis counselor. So they all went to Aaron. Aaron made Shalom Bayis. Husband and wife got back together. They had a baby. They named the baby Aaron. So Mefarshim say, you see from here that you're supposed to name after a live person, because they all named after Aaron. Aaron was alive. So the kasha always is, what do you mean, Shalom Bayis problems? We always assume Shalom Bayis comes from financial stress. The Midbar, there was no financial stress. So how could there be so many couples struggling with Shalom Bayis? I always tell the young couples, you see from here, Shalom Bayis has nothing to do with money. Two people are two people, whether they have money. I'll show you couples that have the most money in the world, they're at each other's necks. I'll show you people that are broke and they're happy. It has nothing to do with money. So they were tzaris during those 40 years. So that was the tzedakah people gave. A guy was having a rough day, he got in a fight with his wife, he got in a fight with his kids, got in a fight with whoever, and your friend was just a listening ear. Tzedakah doesn't always have to be with writing a check. And that's why I think it's an important yesod as we get into the Yom Nerayim. So we know tzedakah is one of the big three, right? Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. So everyone thinks tzedakah means writing a check. Yeah, avada. If a person is at the point where he can write a check, he should write a check. But tzedakah doesn't have to only mean with checks. Tzedakah could also mean with giving your time. Famously, everyone knows what Moshe Feinstein used to say. The same way that the concept of giving a tenth of your money, you're supposed to give a tenth of your time. Give your time to other people, listening ear, whatever you need, someone, you know, just to bounce it off. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says a big chiddush. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, when you do things for your family, it's also tzedakah, it's also a mitzvah. Now, people think, I listen to my kid, that's because he's my kid, I have to listen to them. No, no. So it's also a mitzvah to help out your family members. Maybe even your wife, you listen to her, it's also a mitzvah. You're making her happy. So all these things that we do in our life, we always think, it has to come with a big check, it has to come with a big donation, a lot of zeros, a lot of digits. If a person could, he should. A person can be mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah in many, many other ways besides for writing. And that was what they did in the Midbar. The Midbar, the tzedakah wasn't with a check. I could assume, like it says in the psukim, it was with other versions of other types of payments. Okay, we'd like to wish a very special mazel tov to Zev and his wife on the birth of a granddaughter. To his son this week, Mr. Shem, they should continue to give him nachas, and they should continue to build Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. And now we're learning Kedusha. So Kedusha Chavtes is predominantly about Bris Milah, but we can tie it in to all Jewish children being born. It's always nice, it's always fantastic. Mr. Shem, you should see much nachas from them and from his entire mishpacha. Okay, but I say last week we went a little ahead of ourselves. You know, sometimes we jump to the lumnus and we forget to go backwards. So I want to go back to the Mishnah for a second. I want to analyze and focus on the Mishnah and a ha'ara which only Yaakov Kamenetsky and his the way he looks at things picked up, and which most of us probably did not pick up. So take a look at source number one. Source number one is the opening Mishnah that we started with last week. It's half the Mishnah. I chopped off to the end of the Mishnah. Let's go to the end of the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, V'chol mitzvahs lo yisase, any negative commandment, bein shehazman grama, bein shehazman grama, whether time sensitive or non-time sensitive, echad anoshim, whether it be men ve'echad hanoshim, whether it be women, chayovim, they are obligated. So again, earlier in the Mishnah, we had a rule called mitzvah seishas magrama, time-sensitive mitzvahs, women are exempt. We talked a little bit last week of the why. We'll come back to Oblineda this week, if not subsequent weeks. But the Mishnah says whenever it comes to a negative, something you're not allowed to do, then men and women are equal. Chutz, says the Mishnah, three exceptions. Bal takif, bal tashchis, Batitamelamesim. What are the three exceptions of a lav that women don't have? So the first one is bal takif, which we saw last week. It means don't cut off the pace of pa'as roishchem, the corners of your head. Bal tashchis means don't shave your beard. Ubatitamelamesim, at least the way Rashi learned it, it means don't become tame to a mace, which means even though it's a lav in the Torah, there's a lav for a kohen to become tame, a bas kohen would not have that lav. So let's say a girl is the daughter of a kohen, she wants to go to the cemetery, she has no such violation, even though it's a lav. And we know lav and women and men are equal. These are the three exceptions. So if you look at the way we have the Mishnah and argument, if you open up a Kedushin Daf Chavtes, this is source number one, we're straight out of the Vilna Shas. But if you look in the Mishnayis, if you open up a Mishnayis, look at the subtle difference to the way the Mishnah has it. If you look at the end of the Mishnah, it's all the same till you get to the end. Chutz mi bal tashchis, bal takif ubat atam lemesim. Subtle difference. The order of the three. Again, everyone agrees there's three things that women are exempt from, even though they're lavin. The difference is what's the order. So most of us will be like, really? Does it really matter? Who cares? Why waste time in it? But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points this out, so I felt it was worth pointing out as well. So Rabbi Yaakov points out that in the Mishnah that we have in the Gemara, it has Bal Takif first and Bal Tashchis second. In the order of the Mishnah, in the Mishnayis, it has it Bal Tashchis first and Bal Takif second and Bal Tatama Lemesim third. So what is the difference between Bal Takif going first or Bal Takif going second? Does it really matter? The answer, of course, doesn't really matter, right? The point is, these three things are the exceptions. If I said this one first or that one first, does it make any difference? So Yaakov Kamenetsky makes a shtickle tire out of this. Dr. Yaakov and Emes Yaakov, he points this out. He writes, Hine, b'mishna shebimishnayis, the Mishnah that we have in our Mishnayis, ha-girsa hu lehepach, the girsa is reversed, v'hainu, shemona bal tashkis v'achar bal takif. He first has bal tashkis and then he has bal takif. Points that, first of all, it's always interesting because we always assume that the Mishnah that we have in the Gemara is the same Mishnah in the Mishnayis. Here, you see, this is something to note for, you know, just weird ideas of Judaism. Here we have an example of a Mishnah in the Mishnayis, which is different than the Mishnah printed in the Gemara. So if you open up a Mishnayis Kedushin, you'll see Bal Tashchis first. If you open up a Mishnayis, you open up a Gemara, you'll see Bal Takif is first. So again, does it make the world of a difference? Probably not. But there is what to talk about. Why did the Tana and our Gemara do it differently?
Listed whatever's first.
Exactly. That's going to get to. Very good. So, Zakti Biakiv, our girsa, meaning the way we have it in the Gemara, is more correct. Why? Because if you open up a Chumash, where the Torah describes these prohibitions, the Torah first writes, don't cut off your payas, and then it says, don't cut off your beard. So, therefore, the assumption is we're going to go in some form of order based on the Chumash. So, the Mishnah should be more correct the way we have it. So Zadrib Yaakov, L'chayri, the way we have it is more correct. He says, V'chayna girsas berif, and that's the way the rif has it. The way we have it, the ayin b'shinu en nuschois, he says, look in the sefer shinu en nuschois, which is a commentary on the side of the Mishnayis, who makes this observation that Rabbi Yaakov just pointed out to us, why the change in the Mishnah and the change in the Gemara. Then he writes, V'ayin b'perish ha-Mishnayis la-Rambam, V'yeh sham ta-Saifin, this is somewhat of a typo in the Rambam perish ha-Mishnayis, v'sarach leimar, shenemer lois akifu, pas reishachem, v'lois rashiz, es pas zekenecho, l'fichach mi shiyesh l'zokin. Meaning, it's a question how to read a Rambam Perish and Mishnah. But says Rabbi Yaakov, if you look up the Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, it's very clear. He writes, Kol mitzvos lo yisaseisha b'ter echad anoshim echad anoshim chayom chotz. He goes, Bal tashchis u bal takov v'atam lemesim udloi ki gersosim. So for Rabbi Yaakov, why did the Rambam go like the girsa of the Mishnah, and not like the Rif who went like the Gears of our Gemara? That's what Yaakov Kamenetsky's kasha.
Perish on Mishnayis.
Yeah.
And that's the Mishnayis. Right, and the Yad HaChazaka, what is he going with? Okay, the Yad HaChazaka, he writes clearly, he writes the order not like our Gemara. He writes Baltashkas first, then Baltakif. That's Rabbi Yaakov's kasha. Why did the Rambam, again, his Pirush Mishnayos is hard to make sense of, what it's complicated, there's some typo issues. But Frech Rabbi Yaakov, when it comes to the Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, the Rambam, again, it's not an earth-shattering kasha, because again, the Rambam wrote a halacha sefer. For a halacha sefer, it doesn't really matter what the order is. The point is, get the three halachas out there. You gotta know Baal Takif, Baal Tashkas, and Baal Tlatameh. But Rabbi Yaakov is bothered, why would the Rambam and Yad HaChazaka not use the order of our Mishnah? Befrat, because the order of our Mishnah happens to be in line with the order of the Torah. Why would you veer off? That's Rabbi Yaakov's kasha. So he writes, with Tzorech Lema, you have to say, Shehiktim Baal Tashkas Mishnah Dizeh Poshut Misvar. So Rabbi Yaakov, an interesting territory. He says, maybe the reason why the Rambam would put Baal Tashchis first, because the Baal Tashchis refers to Ashchos HaZokin. So Ashchos HaZokin is more mistaver. Why? Lo Islahu Zokin. Because women don't have beards. The Gemara actually has two terutzim. And why don't women have an issue to shave their beard? One teretz is because they don't grow beards. It's not the teva. Then the Gemara gives another teretz. And even if they do grow beards, I have a possible. So maybe, says Rabbi Yaakov, the Rambam said to himself, which one of these three is the most least chiddush, is the most given? So Rabbi Yaakov thought Baal Tashchis is the most given, meaning it's so posh that Baal Tashchis is not applicable to women, so that's why he put Baal Tashchis first, even though it's not in correct order of the Chumash. So learns Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and that's Pshat in the Rambam, and that's Pshat perhaps in the Girsa of the Mishnah. I gradually would have came up with a different chap. I would have thought that Baal Takif should come before Baal Tashchis just because, again, in chronological order. A girl will be presented with the dilemma of shaving her hair before she'll be presented with shaving her beard. Right, just like 3-year-old kids shave their head before they shave their beards. So I would have thought the order of the Mishnah is not based on the Chumash, but based on chronological order. Baal Takif comes before Baal Tashchis. You'll be presented with a dilemma of shaving your payas before you'll be presented with a dilemma of shaving your beard. So I would have thought that's why Baal Takif should go before Baal Tashchis. But Rabbi Yaakov says no, Baal Takif should go before Baal Tashchis, because that's the order of the Mishnah. I said, why did the Rambam reverse it? So Rabbi Yaakov says, because Baal Tashchis is not a chiddush, and therefore it's more pashut. That's why he put Baal Tashchis first. Okay. Interesting horror that I thought Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was pointing out, just from the subtlety and the changes of the Mishnah. We talked a little bit last week about a Rashash, and it's what to talk about. We kind of went through it much quicker last week, but it's kedai to go through it a little bit like this. The Rashash is bothered on the third thing in the Mishnah. So we talked about Baal Tashchis and Baal Takif. We spoke about the order. And the last thing was Baal Tatam al-Mason. That we said was, what was Baal Tatam al-Mason? Says Rashi, Rashash number 4, Upirish Rashi, Dikoyhanim. Rashi learns what does Baal Tatam mean. Baal Tatam the Mesim is referring to girls becoming Tomei to a Mace. So what does it mean? It means Kipshute, that what? The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that if you have a Bas Koyin, the girl, her father's a Koyin, her brothers are a Koyin, so the father and her brother can't go to the Levaya, the father and the brother can't go to the cemetery, but she's allowed to go to the cemetery. Aye, Tumas Koyhanim is allowed. It says Loitat, don't do it. So this is the exception. That's how Rashi learned the Mishnah, and I think that's the way most of us would have learned the Mishnah, because what does the Mishnah say? Baal Tatam Lemesim. Don't become Tamei to the dead. So therefore, the dead means dead bodies, and it's referring to Tumas Kohun. Fact of Rashash Akash. There's another time where we talk about Tumah, and it's not only for Kehanim. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin, Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says that there's a din that you're not allowed to become Tumah on Yom Tov, and you have to go to the mikvah before Yom Tov to take off any Tumah. Not only you're not allowed to become Tumah, you're not allowed to go into Yom Tov being Tumah. And this is maybe the makar of why many people have a practice, not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but the other regalim people have a practice, they go to the mikvah before the regalim, is based on this Gemara. The Gemara says you're supposed to become tahor into Yom Tov. So, frekt the Rashash, why can't that be pshat in the Mishnah? Maybe when the Mishnah says that women are exempt from Tumah, it doesn't mean Tumah of a Bas Koyin to become Tumah to a Mace. It means Tamazay. It means before Yom Tov, the mikvah is only for men, not for women. If a lady wants to become Tumah in regal, no one cares. Maybe that's what it means. So, frekt the Rashash, why didn't Rashi learn like that? So, frekt the Rashash, why did Rashi learn? Baal Tatam al-Mason means only a Bas Koyin. And it's a question of, can she become Tamei to a Mace with regard to Tumas Kuhuna? Why can't it just mean Stamazai? It means that what? That regular Jews are not supposed to become Tamei and Yom Tif, but a girl could become Tamei and Yom Tif. So if a girl's walking down the second day Pesach and she sees a dead body, she can become Tamei. But a boy shouldn't. Maybe that's what the Mishnah means. Why did Rashi...
That's only shows for going.
And Achanami. Every day. Okay. Maybe that's why Rashi wanted to keep him more broad. Could be.
No, yeah. Why didn't you say? Because in other words, then that was only Bisman Beis Hamikdash. We're talking about Lailam Vod. In other words,
who said it's not Lailam Vod? The Gemara says it's Lailam Vod. The Gemara.
I mean, there's an Inyan too much.
We'll talk a little bit about it. We'll see.
You know, Hutru L'Shaita and stuff like
that. No, we'll talk. We'll talk. We'll see if it's in the game. We'll see in a second. So, what's the Rashash's answer? So, the Rashash answers no. It can't be that. Mishum dehi afmit tumas nevelus. Because if that's the tumma that we're trying to bypass, that tumma is not only from the mace. That would even be tumma from a nevela. So the Rashash's answer is the lashon of the Mishnah was the giveaway. Why? What did it say in the Mishnah? It says bal te tamid lemesim. Don't become tamid to the dead. So if it's about tumas kuhuna, we understand why that word lemesim makes sense. But if it has to do with tumas yomtiv, so the halach is for yomtiv is even touching a nevela, dead carcass, not even a person. So if Zalk to Rashash, the reason why Rashi learned that bal te tamid means tumas kuhuna and not Tumas Yomtiv, because it would be Tumas Yomtiv, the Mishnah wouldn't have to write the words Lemes.
Also, it's too much issue on Yomtiv.
This is a we'll get to where this all comes from in a second. So you see from the Rashash that the Rashash holds that women are not Mechoyiv in Tumas Yomtiv. Meaning, before Yomtiv and on Yomtiv, women are not Muzar to become Tomei. They can become Tomei in Yomtiv. That's what you see from the Rashash's Kasha, right? He doesn't disprove that. He doesn't say my whole premise is wrong. He still holds of his premise. He just thinks it doesn't fit into the Mishnah because of the wording of the Mishnah. Which means, it comes out Lefizeh, according to, right, there's technically another thing, that meaning for Jewish trivia, there's technically another type of alav, or din, I don't know, alav is a strong word, there's another din that women are exempt from, called Tumas Lefnei HaYomtiv. That's what the Rashash seems to assume. Now, there's one problem over here. We're going to talk about that in a second. There's one problem over here. There's a Gemara in Yevamos. So there's a Gemara in Yevamos and a Rashi in Yevamos, which would explain Rashi much better than the Rashash explained it. Meaning, the Rashash is coming out at the end of his shtickle that Avada women have no Isser Tuma on Yom Tov. Why did the Mishnah mean that? The Mishnah didn't mean it because the word about the Tama Lemesim doesn't sound like that. But the Rashash never fell off of his original assumption, which means there's a din of Tuma B'Yom Tov, which only apply to men and don't apply to women. L'chayra, it's a stira in Rashi. Why? There's a Gemara in Yevamos number 5. The Gemara in Yevamos is talking about the difference between Erisin and Nesuin. I have this all the time with young people. They have this thing in their head. They think Erisin means engagement. Engagement today means zero. Garnished. Just like a vart in Yiddish is a waste of time, right? All these things mean nothing. Halachically, it doesn't mean anything. Engagement is a term we use to describe different things. It doesn't have any halachic significance. Erisin is the first step of marriage. Erisin means he gives her a ring in front of two Adam, says Rabbi Mekudesh.
The only halachic significance.
Maybe the Gemara Shaduchim. It might be negated to paying the Shatchim. That's all engagement might be relevant to. But not, the rest of it doesn't mean anything. But Erisin is a different level. Erisin is when a guy gives a ring to a girl in front of two Adam. That's what we call the first level, the first stage of marriage. So the Gemara, we spoke about this when we learned Kiddushin, the Gemara has numerous nafkaminas between Erisin and Nesuin. What's the relationship between the two people after Erisin before they have Nesuin? In the times of the Gemara, they used to have Erisin, they would break for 12 months, and they would have Nesuin. They'd have a 12-month break. That's why we read the Ksuba at the Chasana. We read the Ksuba at the Chasana because we do it all one shot. So the Rishonim bring this down, that we want to have a remembrance. I think the Mordechai brings down this practice, that we want to have a remembrance to the break. So we have a break between Erisin and Nesuin. What's our break? We read the Ksuba. Okay, that's why we read the Ksuba. When I was once at a COVID chasana, a real COVID chasana, I had to go, it was my sister's chasana, I didn't have a choice, but it was real heavy-duty COVID. I read that ksuba faster than you can imagine. I think I skipped half the words. So, you didn't read the ksuba? And yes, boss, no, what? I didn't read the ksuba, so what? it doesn't change anything.
By the way, this just happened, Rabbi Feynman spoke about it. He was at a chasana this week. I was at that chasana. The Sephardic ksubas, I didn't know, are tremendously long. So the guy was Masada Kedushin, Rabbi Feynman was reading the Ksuva. He said, just skip three quarters of it.
I know some Rabbanim that are very particular. I've been to weddings where they make everyone be quiet. They have to read it slowly and loudly. I guess they want to show everyone they know how to read Aramaic. I don't know. Okay, I'm happy you can read Aramaic. But the Mikra did it just to be a zecher to what it used to be. Sometimes Rabbanim will skip it for whatever the reason they need it. It's not the other new thing that I have now, the new Zachan HaChasun, is they have Edom watching the Mesiras HaKsuba. This bothers me also. I was at a chasana this week. I was 8 Kedushin, so I had to watch the Messiah Saksuba. Why? I didn't have a chutzpah after the Masada. Why are you making me crazy to watch the Messiah Saksuba? Where does it say you have to have Eden for the Messiah Saksuba? The Ksuba is a moment of the Gechiv. Why do you have to have Eden for that? You have to have Eden Kiyam. You have to have Eden watch the giving of the ring. It's a new phenomenon. Now they say Rabbi Aaron Cutler was into it. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it comes from exactly. But that's a new phenomenon that you go to chasanas. All the Eden Kedushin have to watch the Messiah Saksuba. Okay. You do what they tell you, but I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. But in any case, But it's not clear to me what Rabbi Belsky has a tshuva. He tries to be masbid. It's hard to know where
exactly. Did you ask him Masada Kedushin?
Nah, I wasn't interested enough in making trouble.
For her, Rabbi would have been doing it.
He doesn't do it? Is that Makbid on it?
No.
Yeah, did I see it from my Baron? Maybe I saw it somewhere.
No. Forget it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, so he's not Makbid. He's not Makbid on Monsieur, an agent for Monsieur Saksuba.
No, I've never heard of it.
It's a new thing now. I don't know. It's very popular. I'm not sure exactly
what it
is. You know, I talk, I have a rifle of Magen Avraham at least for. But
oh, really?
Yeah, we spoke about it once initially. We had a rifle of Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham comes down. Magen Avraham, when we did that sugi of Avelis all year long, we spoke about it. But in any case, so back to the Gemara in Yevamos. Okay, that's how we get sidetracked. So the Gemara says in Yevamos Chavtes, Ishto Yahusa. Let's say you have an ishto and an arusa, so le'oinin v'loy mitamala. So one of the differences between erusin and nisuin is that let's say a man does erusin to a girl, and then he dies. I'm sorry, then she dies. So the halacha is he's not allowed to become an oinin to her, and he's not allowed to become mitamet to her if he's a kohen. V'chein he le'oinenes v'loy mitames loy. And let's say the reverse. Let's say she gets erusin from a man, and then the man dies. Says the Gemara, she's not allowed to become tamet to him. She's not allowed to become tummy tim. What are you talking about? So Rashi writes on that page, number 6, says Rashi, V'lav dafka nakat. It doesn't really mean she's not allowed to become tummy to him. V'loy mitame dobe noy sa'arin loy huzuru ala tumma. What do you mean? Girls are always allowed to become tummy. El aidi de nakat loy oinunis de itzvich lezinka v'loy mitame dobe loy misli tati bi didei bi didei ka. Okay. So he says it's agaf. It doesn't really mean it. Fine. This is the best part. So Rashi, V'li nire, but I personally think, V'loy mitame kegoin biregel. Says Rashi, no, I have a case. I have a case where women are allowed to become tame. They're not allowed to become tame when biregel. Unless it's a kariv. And Zokti Gemara, since they only have erusin, they don't have that intimate relationship, she's prohibited to become mitame to him. V'loy mitame kegoin biregel, she's ve'el muzorim ala tuma. What do you see from this Rashi?
This is during
regel. Like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Right. The Misa would occur during. So what do you see from this Rashi in Yevamos? Rashi Yevamos holds that women do have an iser atuma of Yom Tif. So imken it's taka the Rashi's shtickle Torah is not correct. Rashi bedavka didn't learn this pshat because Rashi lishitosi holds it's not true. The Rashash built this whole campaign saying that women have no iser of tumas Yom Tif. So he had a kasha. Why didn't Rashi say it? The reason why Rashi didn't say it is because Rashi doesn't hold like that. Look at Rashi Yevamos. Rashi Yevamos says very clearly that women would have an iser of tuma on Yom Tif. And that's why Rashi didn't say it.
What's the reason why we said the tumor going into Yom Tov is for everybody, right? It's for Yisrael.
For Yisrael, yeah.
Right. What's the reason why you're not supposed to come?
It means Rashi's from Sukkim. He's supposed to come into Yom Tov. We'll talk a little bit more about it.
My question is like this. So maybe with Abbas Kain, is the whole reason, is she allowed to eat tumor if she's Tame?
No.
So maybe that's the reason.
No, no. It's not a gate. The tumor doesn't exist for her. She has no Issa tumor.
Right. So she could always eat the tumor anyway.
Yeah, presumably.
Okay.
So again, so what do we have over here? So I think the answer to the Rashash's kasha is it's Rashi Lishitase. The Rashash wanted to tell us, no, Avada Rashi agrees to me that there is Negea, there is a din of Tumas Yom Tif, which women don't have. And that's why Rashi could have said it. He didn't say it because it doesn't fit into the Mishnah. The way we're saying it now, Rashi couldn't have said that because it's not true. Rashi really holds women do have an iser to become Tomei and Yom Tif, and that's how Rashi learned the Gemara in Yevamos Apchov Tes, and that's Bedavko. Rashi did not write it in Kedushin because it's not true. According to Rashi, it's Rashi, the same Rashi.
What,
yeah.
Mishnah only says three.
And so it could be Rashi might tell you that when he wrote when the Mishnah says Baal Tatam Lemesim, it might also include the Tuma of Yom Tif also. But again, according to Rashi, it's not true. Right, so Baal Tatam LeMesim is Taka only Mesim.
That's why he had to write.
That's why Rashi let you know what it was.
That's why he had to write Kaanim.
Lafuke, what he wrote in Yevamos.
Right.
Now there is a Svasemis over here.
No, but the Mishnah is wrong according to that. It's not three things, it's four things.
Well, unless we're going to have to try to figure out. So why? Well, first of all, we're going to have to know if there's a town of Ishaya over here. That's first the question. We'll have to see, did the Mishnah leave out things? Sometimes Mishnah
says three things.
So I think Gemara says, yeah, we'll still do that.
Rashi didn't live out anything.
We'll have to say, so according to Rashi, according to Rashi did not leave it out, right? Because according to Rashi, this is not something men and women are different. Men and women are the same. According to Rashash, you have that kash.
According
to Rashash, it's a shtigl shver.
Right, because Rashash also holds kahanim.
Right, because according to Rashash, it's a little bit more limiting. Now, there might be a shtigl terror out of this. Take a look in the Svasemis. Svasemis in Rosh Hashanah. The shayla is why is there a din that you have to retire yourself the regal and not become tummy and regal? In klash tickle, what is that about? Is it because of the kedushas hayomtiv, or it has something to do with the eating of the karbanos of yomtiv? What would the nafkamina be? And women also, exactly. Even if you're not oil regal. Let's say you're not oil regal for whatever reason. Says the Sasemis of Gavaldi Chiddush. This din of the Gemara of Chayiv Adam Latar Atzmei Beregel has nothing to do with being oil regal going into the base of Mikdash. Why? Di lavo chibshito. Says the Sasemis, what's the Chiddush of the Gemara? You have to be Matar yourself before you go into the base of Mikdash. That's true on any day of the week. So the Sfasemis is assuming for a given that when the Gemara wrote Chayiv Odo Matar Atzmei Beregel is a new din of Tahara Beregel, can't just be so in order you can go into the base of Mikdash. That's Poshet. That's not a Chiddush. So what did the Gemara mean? Elevada di kamashma dafilu eina oil le regel. Even if you're not being oil le regel, lo yitama atzmoi. You still can't become Tomei. Vim kain, yeshoim, digam is manazeh. Kain adin. So therefore says the Sfasemis, the way he understood the Gemara, this din is applicable even today. It has nothing to do with the base of Mikdash. Because he thinks if we had to do it, the basic mikdash, it wouldn't be a chiddush. So the imkain, okay. However, says this Vasemis, I got a problem. Medeshmitu harif harosh haidino. The mashmit the bizman hazeh leki esura. Says this Vasemis, but the gedolei rishonim don't quote this halacha lemaisa because they assumed it's totally in the basic mikdash. And since we don't have a basic mikdash, they left this halacha out. So this Vasemis says, I'm kind of stuck over here. Although I think, based on the way I understand the gemara, it should be applicable bizman hazeh. Aber I can't fight city hall. The rif and the rama both do not quote it. So says the Sfasemis like this. Yeshua medena chanami. Ta'afilu eino oil regal chayv v'tar atzmai rak bezman hazeh. Debalav ochi kolonu tamei meisim. Says the Sfasemis today, we're anyways tamei. Right? What the likelihood is that we probably came in contact with a tamei person somewhere along the lines. Imkin einaf kemine b'taharis nevela. So therefore we're no longer so concerned about a nevela because we already have tamei meis on us. Then he writes, v'chen kosav arosh b'yuma peregem ha-kipurim v'ayim b'to arachayim u'v'lchasem ha-kipurim. He says the Torah quotes a Rishita that on Yom Kippur you also have to be Matar Atzmai because of this din. Not the regular Tfilos Yom Kippur which we've spoken about in the past because of Keri or Tshuva. The Rishonim bring down that you're supposed to go to the mikvah before Yom Kippur like you do before Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos.
Are you not eating?
You're not eating anything. Terry says it's not about eating. It's not about Beis HaMikdash. It's about Kedusha. Aval HaRambam Mevuer De Ein Tzarech L'Tar Atzmai El Kedushim Muchon Lovei L'Mikdash U'Lechol Kachem. However, says the Sfasemis in Rambam is L'Shitosu. The reason why the Rambam writes the din of this tefillah is only so you can go into the Beis HaMikdash and eat Kachem. And therefore on Yom Kippur, you're not eating Kachem, you don't need it. And since the Bizman said we're not eating Kachem, we don't need it. Good. So what do I want with this Sfasemis? Let's go back to women for a second. Do women eat Kachem on Yom Tif? So that's machlokes and amarayim in the Gemara between Abaya and I forgot who, whether or not women have a chiyuv of simchas yom tov to eat the karbanos.
Chiyuv, but they could.
Good, but the shadow we mean them to go to be mitar just so they could do that. So it says so. Luchayre this shiloh of whether or not women should have this din of bal tetame on yom tov should be totally in this machlokes rishayim the way the svasem sets it up. If it's totally in etzim kedushas yom tov. So then you could say both men and women are equal. But if it's like the Rambam, it's Tali and Echol and Kachim, since women according to at least one sheet. The Torah haven't really asked this kasha, it's not my kasha. The Torah haven't really bavurns that's machlokes in the Gemara, whether or not women have a chiyuv to eat Kachim or to be Mesameach on Yom Tif with eating. So whether or not that's going to be applicable is going to be Tali and whether or not the din of Tumah is Tali that. And that might be Tali in the machlokes, we'll call it Rashi in the Rashash, to whether or not it does apply or doesn't apply to women.
But that Chakira won't apply today.
No, but according to the Sfasemis, according to those Rishonim, that's nothing about eating or Kachim, that it should apply today. Let's take an example, the Rosh in Yuma says it's even on Yom Kippur. No one's eating Kachim on Yom Kippur. Okay, so this is a little, just an interesting nekuda, that this Rashi in Yevamis, with the Rashash is the Aura, by our Rashi, might be totally in the Machloikis Rishonim that the Sfasemis addressed
keep
earlier.
For the Mishnah specifically toward Tumas Mace.
It says the words, Baal Tatam Mace.
But I mean, as opposed, it's purposely said as opposed to...
Exactly. That's Rashash's Teretz. That was Rashash's answer. Rashash said the reason why Rashi backed himself into a wall to talk about Kuhuna was because of those two words. But our Kashi, that's not the reason. Rashi had to talk about Tumah because the other option doesn't exist in Rashi's world. That was Ara. But that's Rashash's answer. The Rashash's answer is that the reason why Rashi learned that way is because the Mishnah led him that way. Our Kashi is not the Mishnah that led Rashi that way. It's Rashi and Yevamis that led Rashi that way because Rashi and Yevamis holds the din of Tumah's Yom Tov does apply to him.
Correct, and that's not
steered
to the Mishnah.
Right, exactly, right. The Mishnah is only focusing on Echanami. So then, it just makes Rashash's Kasha very strange. Right, meaning, it's on Rashash now, right. Now the Rashash is the one that needs to explain. We're good. Rashi's Geshmak, Rashash's Shkutansai, the Lashon of the Mishnah is good. The Kasha of the Rashash is still problematic. Okay, so let's continue a little bit more on the Mishnah before we get back to the Gemara. Last week we ran through the Mishnah too quickly. I have a Tzacharata. We were trying so quickly to get to the Lundas, we Now we're trying to run before we can walk, as they say. So Rabbi Chanan in Kovitz Aris has a shtickle on the end of our Mishnah. Again, what was the end of our Mishnah? We had three Asurim that women don't have, even though men have, even though they're Lavin. What were the three? Baal Takif, Baal Tashchas, Baal Tam Mason, whatever order you want to put it in, as we spoke about earlier. But what are those three Asurim? They're cutting off the peish, cutting off the beard, and becoming Tamil Mason. So Rabbi Chanan writes like this. He quotes a Taisvis, with Taisvis as a Kasha. With Taisvis, Besugin Hikshu, with Tumas Kohanim. Taisus has a kasha from the sugya of Tumas Kayanim. We spoke a lot about this when we learned Rebbe Loz the Milo. You have something called an asei v'lav she'in eshav b'kol. It doesn't apply to all of the Jewish population. It only applies to certain segments of the Jewish population. So Taisus writes that Tumas Kayanim doesn't apply to all of the Jewish people because it doesn't apply to women. It doesn't apply to Israel, it doesn't apply to women. So Frekt, Rebbe Chonon, Lefi Mashikasev Rambam, Mikotze Rambam, Nechas Eveilis, the Yisrael Hamid Tameh HaKoyin Loike. If let's say I, as a Yisrael, cause a kohen to become tameh, you know exactly how you do it, but you cause him to become tameh. So the Rambam writes, loike, you get malchus also. Im kain, kol Yisrael mitzuvin al tumas kohanim. So, fact, Rebbe Chonon, according to that Rambam, it's not the pshat that Yisrael have no shaykhs to the parasha of tumah. I have a shaykhs to the parasha of tumah because I can also be over tumah if I cause you to become tameh. So, fact, Rebbe Chonon, it should come out that according to this Rambam, it shouldn't be an asei v'lav she'ein eshav b'kol. An eshav b'kol, maybe on a different level. It might not be the typical case, meaning a Yisrael can walk into a cemetery, but if Yisrael sets up a kain to walk into the cemetery, and I didn't go into all the nitty-gritties, you look in the Rambam, he tells you whether it's going to be lifnei iver, whether it's going to be the lav itself. Okay, it's not as simple.
Why can't you just answer? Because these are like direct, that's a call.
Oh, good, so we'll see. So again, Taisvis writes that the Tumas Kayhanim is lav she'ein eshav b'kol, fact of b'chon, according to the Rambam, eshav b'kol. Good.
So,
sounds like that. That's the problem. This is what I did not want to get into. If you take a look, if you look up that Rambam, the Rambam says, well, it depends. If the Yisrael is b'shoigig, if the Kohen is b'shoigig. If the Yisrael is b'mezid and the Kohen is b'shoigig. Well, it gets a little bit more complicated than I would like. But if you look up the Rambam, he goes through a little bit of it. So, Zokta B'chonon, let's go back to our sugi for a second. Well, Perakama, the Kedushin, Koloi Sassation, Osh Muzer, is Chosmi Bal Takif, Ubal Tatamal Mesim. Zokta B'chonon, let's go back to Agama for a second. What was one of the things we exempted women from? Women can shave off their payas. So, Frek to Bochon, why? Well, Divi Harambam, Hare Gam Noshim Muzaris, Balab, the Tumas Kayhanim, the Isha Shati Mesa Kayan Loikim. Frek to Bochon, Kash number one. What do you mean women are exempt from the parish of Tumah? Yeah, they're exempt from actually becoming Tameh. But if they set up a Kayan to become Tameh, they'd also get Malchus. So, Frek to Bochon, why does the Mishnah say that when it comes to Tamil Mason, women are exempt, they're out of the parish? They're not out of the parish. They're out of the parish if they themselves become Tameh. The same way we called it earlier that you're still in the parasha if you can cause others to become tameh. So why don't we say the same thing for women also? That's kasha number one Rabbi Chanan has. Meaning, Rabbi Chanan's kasha is based on the Rambam that if I could be oiver and iser by causing you to do an avera, so same thing here also. Let's say a girl, you know, plays a trick on a guy and tells him to come into the room or however she makes him tameh, should be oiver alav. So how could the Mishnah say women are exempt from Tumas Kohanim? They're not exempt from Tumas Kohanim. They're also in Tumas Kohanim. That's kasha number one for Rabbi Chon. The gam kasha, v'chein kasha gam b'bal takif. For Rabbi Chon, I got another kasha. Would a lady be allowed to give a Yisrael a haircut and rip off his pace?
Yes.
So the answer is...
What means she's not mechuyev in it though?
So it's a machloikis, tanoyim, with a machloikis, b'shoinim. So the answer is the iser to give and the iser to receive the same. So we know a lady can shave off her payas. She can go, you know, whatever she wants. But can she shave off a Yisrael, a boy's payas?
Wasn't this also the same thing that we had Legabi Mila, that she's not mechuyev in it? So
right. The question is, sometimes it goes both ways.
Right.
Nikuf and Makif. So Frekter Bochonon, he's assuming, even though it is a big machlokes Rishonim, he says, V'chein kosher, gami bal takif, shagam isha muzeres, so lahakif leish, lechad mandomar. There happens to be a riff in Makis. The Rif and Makis holds that from our Mishnah, you see there is no Issa for Nisha to be Makif for Yisrael. Because the Mishnah says they're exempt from Baal Takif. It doesn't just mean them receiving, it means even them giving. So the Rif writes in Makis, if a lady is Makif, Pas, Ish, Potter.
It also seems from here, by the way, Halacha L'maisa, because I want to ask the Shaila, that based on this, that a woman could cut a man's hair.
Who said a lady can't cut a man's hair?
Let's not go into that.
Okay.
You know, when I asked the Shana, because people come to my wife or my daughter, so I said, could she cut my hair? They said, no, you can't have a woman touch your head. I said, why not?
Hair, okay. Too touchy for my taste.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Right. So, okay, it doesn't mean it's a right to do it. You don't have a right that it's right. You just have a shayla where you're over another love. Meaning,
what would be the
law? No, the law would be the Isra. No, the Isra, meaning you don't have a right that it's mutter or not mutter for a lady to give a boy a man a haircut.
No, but here you see that the woman can give because we want to know whether she's over Baltaket.
That doesn't mean it's a mutter lechatchila. This means, it means whether or not they're over the law. It doesn't mean we're endorsing it or it's mutter or us. It just means we're talking about, as we'd say, bigger fish to fry. Doesn't mean it's mutter or us. Okay. So, Zakhtar Bechonon, why don't we say that if there's a shita that holds that a lady has an Isra to be makif pa'as Yisro, a male? So, Imke, why are they exempted from the mission? So, what's the obvious answer? Everyone's thinking. Yeah, what's the kash? What are the kashes? Rav Chanan's kashes are based on the premise that I found ways that women can be shaykh to the love of Tumah and ways that women can be shaykh to the love of Hikaf. So, why did the mission exclude them? So, the simple answer is
no,
what?
Like I said before, one's direct. When you do it yourself, where you're causing it
to. So, Zakhtar Bechanan, it's a Nikaf. The Mishnah wasn't talking about giving the haircut, the Mishnah was talking about receiving the haircut. Why? The makiv and nikah shnei esurim. When you look at Bechana, you're right. When the Mishnah says women are exempt from bal takif, it didn't mean the isra of giving the haircut. It means the isra of receiving a haircut. So the Mishnah reads like this: chutz mi bal takif, that a lady is allowed to get her payas cut off. Can she cut her payas? Can she cut someone else's payas? I don't know.
But don't we learn that a man can't cut someone else's payas from the fact that he can't have his?
No, that's his point. There's two separate isurim.
But it's learned from the...
Again, it's a question. There's still two facts. Yeah, obviously one would assume if I can't accept, I probably can't give, vice versa.
But that's the Gemara.
Yeah. But Zakhtar... No, but he's saying that... Because again, in the Gemara, in the Mishnah was vague. It says, Baal Takif. Which Isra are we talking about? So he's learned that when the Mishnah talks about Baal Takif, it talks about the Isra of the Nikuf, and we're not talking about the Makif.
That's other the way than the in units this then. So would a man be able to cut a woman's hair? I'll attack
no.
Because there should be no iser.
Chayre not.
What do you mean? If it goes based on the nikuf, I have an iser that I can do it on myself to another man. Right, so a woman, why can't I do it?
So maybe you would be allowed to.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm definitely not saying halacha ma'isa, but it could be. Yeah. Could be there'd be no iser for a lady to shave her entire head.
A man has the iser.
So again, a man.
No. For himself.
The question is.
I have no iser. Well,
what can do the woman? She's allowed to have it done.
Right.
Well, that's the question.
But again, unless you say that the iser makif becomes that I'm not allowed to be makif for anyone. Says I'm not allowed to be a nikuf. I can't be makif for anyone either.
Okay.
Let's say go right. Go you could. Okay, we good. Right. Yeah. So Zakhtar Bechonon to Mishum Hachi makif good. But Zakhtar Bechonon. So that answers up for the nikuf case. Avol Metumas Kahanim Kosho to Hosam Leket Trei Yisurei. So the Bechonon, that's not going to get me out of Tomei Mesim. Tomei Mesim is one answer. The Isra includes you becoming Tomei and causing others to become Tomei. So Ferek Bechonon, why was the Mishnah so vague when it says women are exempt from Baal Tatam Le Mesim if Lecheri they are?
Why is it one answer? The Rambam has to figure it all out.
For Tumas Mace?
Right.
No, but Tumas Mace is not meaning by Nikov and Makov, we created a concept where there's an Isra to give and an Isra to receive.
Oh, they're two real different acts.
Right, the two acts.
The causality.
Right, but over here, when it comes to Tumah, there's one
thing. Causality.
Exactly.
You did it or you
that's right, it. That's right. So, Ferek Bechonon, how's it going to work? So, he writes it this. Let's say you go the other way. The other Shita. The Isha Makefis La Ish Ptura. Let's say you hold that a lady is allowed to give a haircut to a man. The Rith Shita. A lady could give a haircut to a man. So kosher. The kosher bal takif about the time of bechod amach. The fact that go the other way. How could the Mishnah write bal takif that a lady is muzar bal takif? It's not true. They ain't a doim zelazeh. The betuma ishim muzarish for the time of the koyin ubashkofi ubahakofi ishim muteres lakif lish. So now bechod asks a different kasha. Fact that bechod, let's say you hold like the riff. The riff holds there is no iser for a lady to be makif pas or ish. So fact that bechod, how do you read the Mishnah? Says the Mishnah bal takif about the time of the mason. You can't put them in the same boat. They're not in the same boat. Why? Because Baal Tatam Lameisim still has an element that a lady can't cause a man to become tummy. But Baal Takif, a lady could 100% give a man a haircut. So they're not really equal and they're lumped together in the Mishnah. So Bechon leaves off Tzarechi, and how could the Mishnah lump these two things together if they're not exactly 100% equal? Because Baal Tatam Lameisim, women is Shaykh too. But Baal Takif, a lady has absolutely no connection to the extent that she can even give a man a haircut as well. So Bechon is bothered with the grouping of the Mishnah. Again, you'll have to start saying Shtukul Torah, that the Mishnah put these three things together, even though they're not exactly the same, but overall they share similarities in Halach. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara for a second. We spoke about this a little bit last week. Again, we didn't get into it enough. Says the Gemara. The Gemara says, what does it mean in the Mishnah called Mitzvahs HaBen Ala'av? It means all those mitzvahs that the father has to do to his son. So the Gemara said, number 9, Tanina lohod utan rabbonon, ha'av chai bebnoi lemoyle. A father is a chiv to give a son a brismila. Ulif doisoy and to give him a pigeon a ben. Ulam de teira to teach him teira lasi yisha to marry him off. Ulam de umnas to teach him a trade. V'yesha imrim, av la shita b'mayim. You have to teach him how to swim. So we have in the Gemara a list of things that the father has to teach his son. Starting with Mila, he has to pay for the, he has to give the Bris Mila, pay for the Bris Mila, Pidyon HaBen, Torah, that's tuition, Lasi Yisha is Zachasana, teach him a trade, we'll call that college, and the last one is a Yeshayim about teaching him to swim in the water. So already...
By the way, so how did we learn out? Didn't we have Shiram on this about... Did you have to pay for your daughter here?
We're gonna get to it. That's on the base. Avchai in his son, I guess. It's really two, not in. So right away, this the kasha that again we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. I'm only doing it because we brought it up last week. Is the binyan sin? Yaakov Entlinger asks the following kasha: Loma hishmit haRambam halacha brura shechayv odom lisa isha libnoi ulam neumnis. The Binyan Siyan, if you open up a Rambam, the Rambam does not write clearly that there's a chiv to marry off your son, and he does not write that there's a chiv to teach your son to trade, and he does not write that there's a chiv to teach your son to swim. Correct, the Binyan Siyan. How could it be? How could the Rambam forget something which seems to be a blatant Gemara? Now the truth is, we'll get to Blei Neder, the next Talmud, where the Gemara actually gives us sources for all these things. So how could the Rambam leave it off? So the famous answer that Rabbi Yaakov Etnager gives, he writes over here, "Ushloisha mitzvos harishayin askar risham hevi kolecha ve'echad na'achr." Okay, so he left. I only wanted the last one. Vim hishmit haRambam hachti yeshayimim the gam lashita b'nahor, but ze in tema. Says the Binyan Siyan, the kasha about swimming doesn't bother me so much. Why? The pasuk etana kama the gam kein loy choshev hach, because that's where the machlokes in the Gemara. The first four were no one argued on. The one about swimming was only the Yeshayimim. Therefore, says the Binyan Siyan, the Rambam does not pass like the Yeshayimim. The Rambam holds there is no chiv to teach your kid to swim, and you don't have to spend money on swimming lessons. So he has two of the other ones. We'll get to that, but when we come up to it, yeah. I just, we were talking last week about, is there really a chiv to teach your kids to swim? So I just wanted to bring in the Binyan Siyan where he writes that he thinks it's pasha. The reason why the Rambam left it out is because the Rambam holds his machlokes in the Gemara between the Tanakama and the Yeshayimim. We both like the Tanakama, not like the Yeshayimim.
It's very strange, the Rambam, very pragmatic.
Yeah, so we're going to see that the Rambam really wrote it in other places. He scattered it out. Instead of writing it explicitly, he kind of wrote it in other areas, which we'll come back to. Now, I just came across, just by searching on my Yitzhar HaChachm, I came across a Shaila, the Asher Chaim Kanievsky. I thought it was a good question, so I put it down. Number 11. Sheila, B'gemar Kedushin Isa Ha'av Chai B'bnoi, V'yishem Af Lashita B'nor. Lomba B'bas L'chai V'lamdoi, Sh'tei D'lo Shut B'mayim. The Asher Chaim Kanievsky, why don't you teach your daughter to swim? Now, this mission is all things about fathers. What is, so the assumption is swimming is also only a father obligation to a son, not to a daughter. In fact, they ask what happened to you, and daughters should drown?
This doesn't exclude daughters.
So the truth is a lot of these things do exclude daughters.
Because there are things in there that are only for sons, right. So it's a list. That doesn't apply.
So that was my kasha. When I saw this kasha, I said, well, who told you that this one doesn't? I mean, a lot of grata, lemoiloi, lefdoisai, lamde teira, those taka don't apply. The next two is going to be a big machoi, because we'll have to get to whether or not the other, again, I've added there are things here that don't apply to girls. No one's arguing. The shayla is the...
So that's maybe why let's see. You have a chiyav then.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see what exactly is a big, there's a big machoi, because we're saying, do you have a chiyav to teach your daughter a trade? Do you have to send your daughter to college? Whatever. Big machoi, because we're saying, not pashat. But lemaisa, this list is a mixing of things that are father to son, and maybe father to daughter. So look at the... Chaim Kanievsky answer. He writes, "Ein darko l'leches amuk b'mayim." Girls don't go into deep water. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe in Bnei Brak.
What happens if you have a pool in your backyard?
He's living in Bnei Brak. There's no pool in the backyard. Again, Mechilas Kavod of Chaim Kanievsky. I partially don't know what this means. I guess he's saying the Metzius is the girls don't swim as much as boys. But again, the way we were masbert based on Rashi, it's really a Gemara. It had nothing to do with. It had to do with where you. I guess. Maybe girls didn't travel on the waters like boys did. I guess girls stayed home. The men did the travel.
He meant because it was based on in the times of the Gemara. They were fishermen. They had to go.
I guess that's what he means. I'm not sure what he means. Today, girls have separate swimmings. Today's everything separate. Okay, I'm not sure what Chaim Kanievsky meant by that, but it's something to think about. When we come back to the Gemara, we'll think about it. Okay, so let's go back to where we left off last week. Last week we were talking about, we called it a Chakira from Rav Gusman and his country say Shurim. Basically, why are women potter for mitzvah say shazman grama? So the two tzadim are either what we saw last week from the Avudraham, the Kolboy, Rav Moshe, that the reason why women were potter was because their time is not theirs. They're on a different schedule. They have other shibudim, either they're meshubet to their husband or they're meshubet to their children, however you want to say it. But the point is the same idea. The women are not, their time is not theirs. They're not available to drop everything that they're doing and do a mitzvah. That was the tzad that we all think of and we all know. Comes along with Gusman. Gusman says, no, maybe there's another way to look at it. Maybe it's exerts a kasa b'li time. Don't be so overanalyzing, psychoanalyzing everything. It's about to not tell you for whatever reason. Meaning the way he said it was, it's not a siba, it's a sim. Meaning, it's not the pshat that mitzvah shaz magroma is the reason why they're potter. They're potter for whatever reason Hashem said. It's just you want to know which mitzvahs women are in and which mitzvahs women are out. So you go through the list. Any mitzvah time sensitive women are out, non-time sensitive women are in. Why? I don't know why. Then Reb Gosman said even a bigger chiddush. He said each mitzvah might be different. You might have to go through each mitzvah. It might be a different reason. Women are exempt from sukkah from X reason. They're exempt from lulav for Y reason. Okay, it's an interesting thing, I guess, if you want to figure this all out.
And that was just a klal.
It wasn't. So the way you want to make this even more yeshivish terminology, we'll call it siba versus sim, which is the way Reb Gosman writes. Is zman groma the reason?
Did he learn by Reb
Chana? No, Reb Gosman learned by Reb Shemin.
Oh, okay.
He learned by Reb Shemin. He's a Talmud in Shartar. He didn't learn by Reb Chana.
No, because that's big Simon and Siba is usually Reb Chana.
Yeah, Simon is really borrowed from Reb Chaim. Reb Chana got it from Reb Chaim also.
Uh-huh.
But the people say Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon were Talmidim. They knew each other. They were friends. They didn't really have their styles of learning are very opposite of Chaim.
Right, but they were
contemporaries.
They were
Talmidim Reb Chaim, no? Who? Reb Chana was a Talmud Reb Chaim, yes.
Right, but Reb Shimon was not.
Reb Shimon learned in Volozhin. He wasn't a Talmud Reb Chaim. They were together. They might have crossed paths a little bit in Volozhin, but Reb Shimon, he wasn't a Talmud Reb Chaim. They learned together. They knew each other. They're friends. Their styles of learning are
very different.
Yoimam v'layla apart, day and night. In any case, so Reb Gosman says, either it's a simon or it's a siba. Okay. So we thought very nice, chakir, where does it play a role, lamais? So we started off, we're on page 2 now with this Gemara and Brachas we started with last week. Very, very shver shtukal Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara and Brachas is talking about the dinim of davening, they're talking about the Kriyashma and davening. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, women are chayiv in davening. So the Gemara says, why? Derachamim ninu. Because davening is rachamim and we all need rachamim. Then the Gemara says, mahu this, at least the way we have the Gemara has a kasha like pshita. The whole Omer of the Gemara has this back and forth. Pshita, what's the Chiddush? And I'll tell you a Chiddush. So the Gemara over here also has that kasha. Of Ma'od the same, Ohoyel v'ksid be'er v'voy k'vitzarai and k'mitzah seish as man g'ro amadomi. The Gemara says, what's the havamina? Why would I think women are part of davening? So the Gemara says, because I would think that davening is a time-sensitive mitzvah. You can only daven morning, afternoon, and evening 3 times a day. So since you can only daven 3 times a day, it says man g'ro amad. So it's again, not for our sugya. There's a whole discussion about the zmani hatfilah. Where does that come from? And if you hold tefillah deraisa, mid deraisa you have to daven 3 times a day, mid deraisa you only have to daven once a day. And if you have to daven mid deraisa only once a day, when does the day start? Meaning, what would your first tefillah be? Would your first tefillah be Ma'ariv or your first tefillah would be Shachris? Also, Agan Sedim. I was doing some reading up on the Karoyim. Don't ask me why I'm studying them now, but okay. The Karoyim take a daven twice a day. That's the Minhag HaKaroyim. They daven twice a day. Okay? Now, they don't believe in Teresh Lapes, so they have to convince
themselves
themselves somehow that davening is somehow from the Torah, and it's only twice a day. I don't know where they get it from. But we have a whole Shiloh. It's quite a Lomdush Shiloh. When does the day start for us? Let's assume you hold Midrash, you only have to daven once a day. Well, when does the day start? So I think most people assume it starts the night going into the day. I think there's a Shagasai about it. I don't remember now. But the Gemara says it's Zman Grama because it's 3 times a day, and it's time sensitive. You can only daven in the morning, afternoon, either. Kamash Bolon, what? Afal Pike women achayv. So the way you read the Gemara, Kipshutoi, I'm not saying it's the only way to read the Gemara. The way you read the Gemara is that even though it very much resembles a mitzvah seh shazman gromo, maybe it should really be considered a mitzvah seh shazman gromo, but it's the exception to the rule. What's the exception to the rule? The exception to the rule is because rachamim ninu. Since davening is so important, it's so essential, women have to do it even though it's time sensitive.
I understand. How's Erev Vakavit Sarayim Zman Gromo?
It means you have to do three, meaning there's a time. You daven once in the morning, you daven once in the day, and once in the evening. And you can't, you gotta get it done by the morning. You can't. Meaning, you only have a window of time to daven. That's time sensitive.
Totally in the whether you hold one tefillah or three tefillah.
Correct.
Only one tefillah, so then it's not zman grama anymore.
Right, unless you hold that fact that you only have one day to do it makes it zman grama.
Anything with the time.
Again, this is a shtickle tricky. It's a shtickle tricky over here.
Where does it call it? It says it's like it.
Very good.
And the right. Kamash Malan is that it's not a mitzvah.
So that's the question. How you learn the Kamash Malan? Do you learn the Kamash Malan that we got it wrong? Or the commercials of Alpikin is a compelling argument to make them chayv because of Rachim Nino. So I always thought this Gemara is a shtickle riot to the other famous Gemara, which we too still need to come back to, of Rabbi Shulman Levi. Gemara said the name of Shulman Levi, the Afein Hoyu Bayis Hanes. You know, famous Gemara, the Torah was Mechayv, the Chazal were Mechayv women in 3 mitzvahs, Dalet, Kaisis, Megillah, and Chanukah. Even though those are all very time sensitive mitzvahs, they're still chayv because of Afein Bayis Hanes. So we know that the famous Machalikis Mishayim, how to learn Afein Bayis Hanes, we spoke about all these topics. A lot of times. In any case. But who gave Shimon Levi the right to make such a chiddush? Who told him Shimon Levi, oh, Afen Bayis Hanes? Where'd you get that from? If there's a rule, there's a rule. The rule is women are patur. Again, even if you want to say like Davud Raham, meaning the Chazal did it for a reason, Who gives you the right to now say, well, I have a compelling argument? What do you mean compelling argument? So I think it's the Makar from this Gemara. This Gemara says that Rachamim is a compelling argument, and because it's a compelling argument, women are chayv. What happened to Zman Grama? The Teretz is, you see from this, and no one argues on this Gemara, this is an equivocal, all agreed upon Gemara, that if you have a compelling reason to be mechayv women, then somehow you can push aside the general rule of Zman Grama.
Like Sukkah, where the Gemara has a compelling reason to be mechayv women, and then rejects it.
That's a Gemara, right? That Gemara needs to be, that Gemara needs a lot of discussion. Maybe we'll talk about it. Right, the Gemara over there in Sukkah has a Havamina, that women should be chayv in Sukkah because of Teshuvu Kein Taduru. Since men and women eat together in the house,
that's
the Taisa Zakasha. The Taisa Zakasha. That's we can't say Afan Beis Anes by the Mitzvah Daraisa. We spoke about this once. I think we did this 3 years ago on Pesach. We did the Pesach COVID year. I think we did it on Zoom. I remember. That's I think we did it then. But in any case, it's a Geshmaka topic. Hopefully, we'll get back to it again. But the Gemara has a Havamina. The Gemara's Havamina is Shver. Really, the Gemara's a Havamina that a lady should have to sit in the Sukkah because of the man's teshuvah kein taduru.
Right.
It's an interesting thing.
That should be similar to the Baal Taka.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it also tesvot, like women chayv matzah.
Right. That's the other option.
No, but that's only the Talmud.
That's what the Ramah writes, right? The Ramah says, since we have teshuvah kein taduru, men like to sleep in the same room as their wife, unless they do something wrong that day, and their wife throws them out, whatever, putting that aside. So they're supposed to sleep in the same room, so that's why a lot of men don't sleep in the sukkah, right? We'll have to, maybe before sukkahs, we'll have to deal with this a little bit. But the way the Gemara reads, lefi us,
so why don't you, let's say you're assuming you do nothing, so why don't you make the do it the other way? Make the woman mechuyev to sleep in the sukkah too. Because the man's here, make the woman sleep in the
sukkah. Because the Gemara rejected that possibility. The Gemara had such a possibility that a lady should have to eat in the sukkah because of the man's teshuvah. The Gemara rejects it. So once it's rejected, it's not true.
It's rejected.
The Shaz, what type of havamin would that be? That I would have to do a mitzvah to make his teshuvah came to do?
It's no different, like I said, than the tumor.
Very shver havamin. Okay. Maybe for sukkahs we can talk about it.
That's when you actually going the other way, meaning as we said that maybe single women shouldn't have to have this.
Right. Now you're saying that a lady's chiyuv should be dictated by what her husband needs.
She should be busy with him.
Right, because her husband needs her to be.
Now that becomes a chiyuv.
That's strange. Okay. Right.
We spoke on that last week a little bit.
Yes.
And then we also said what happens
need to talk more about it. How chiyuvim can be dictated by other factors. We'll talk about this
b'nether.
If you hold, she doesn't have a chiyuv. Correct. So she goes along with it for the men, right? She goes along. She's a good trooper. She says, "Yeah, I know." She's a misayeh, right? That's right. That's it. They have,
but not a chiyuv.
Like, they don't have 100%. Women don't have a chiyuv of peruvu. Right. So there you have a mitzvah that we're not mechayev women in peruvu. It's just so the man can have peruvu. Right. That is true. So again, that's why the Gemara doesn't blight with this. It's a havmi. The Gemara rejects it. And we don't say women should be chayv in peruvu because since the man is chayv in peruvu, and the only way he can do peruvu is if she's on board, so she should become chayv also. She's still not. She's still exempt. Okay. So let's see. So Tosfos over here quotes from a Rashi, which we have. I just didn't photocopy it. He quotes from a Rashi. The Rashi had a different gears than the Gemara. Number 13, Zok Tosfos. Pshita, he goes through the whole Gemara. The Rashi loy gogasle. Rashi did not have any of this gears. Why? Sherit tefila derabonani. Uma mitzvah sasei shaychi be. Those are the exact words of Rashi. So the way Tosfos understood Rashi, what Rashi meant was like this, is that since tefila is a mitzvah derabonan, on a mitzvah derabonan, you don't even have a havamina that the women should be part of from Zman Grama. This whole Mishnah Kedushin Choftes that we're going to talk about, that women are part of a mitzvah Zman Grama, is only for mitzvahs deraisa. Mitzvahs derabonan, there is no such rule, and women are obligated. So learned Tosfos in Rashi. That's the way Tosfos learned Rashi. Now the truth is, the Gilyon Marsha does not
learn. What do you need the whole thing of the other Dal mitzvahs?
What's
the guy? Dal Kaisis, all those are so all
we mentioned this kasha last week from the Shalomation. So the Shalomation has a kasha. If this Rashi is correct, how do you learn the Gemara? The Gemara says that women are chayiv in Dal Kaisis, which is only the Rabbanon. Women are chayiv in Chanukah, which is only the Rabbanon. Women are chayiv in Megillah. Megillah, you can play around with a little bit. It might be a different Nevi'im. Might be a higher level. Okay, we can play around with that. But let's talk about Chanukah Dal Kaisis. Those for sure are straight up the Rabbanon. So why do I need Afim Baisanes? According to Rashi, anytime it's a mitzvah derabbanan, we don't have the rules of Zman Grama. So if we don't have the rules of Zman Grama, women are automatically in. If women are automatically in, who needs afei noy baisanes? Okay. So there might be a teretz to that kasha based on the old machoikish b'shoinim. What does afei baisanes mean? Does afei baisanes mean that they were equally in the tzara like the men? Or does it mean that they were the reason for the salvation? Rashi has two pshatim. Rashi, the Rashbam, they have two pshatim. What is afen bo yisanes? That might be a possible. Keep that in mind in the back of your head. Maybe we'll see how to work that into the yisha for Rashi. But in any case, what is Tosfos not? So the Gilui Mashal says that's not pshat in Rashi. The Gilui Mashal says that Rashi was not walking in and coming with this massive chiddush that mitzvahs the rabbanan don't have zman grama. Rashi just meant you can't read in the Gemara, you can't call it a mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah saseh connotates a mitzvah saseh midday raisa. You can't call a mitzvah the rabbanan a mitzvah saseh. That's what was bothering Rashi. The reason why Rashi pulled the girsa wasn't because he disagreed with the idea of women being part of a mitzvah saseh shazman grama on a midday rabbanan. He just didn't like the wording of the Gemara. That's what look at Rashi. Sharei tefillah the rabbanan uma mitzvah saseh shaychi be means how do you call it a mitzvah saseh? It's the wrong terminology. Now the truth is, this shaila comes up on Sefiras HaOmer. We spoke about this also many times, Gutta Chazer. Many people are against the L'Shem Yichud before Sefiras HaOmer.
Yeah, because we said then you're doing the homework.
Right. First of all, the Noit
Behuda... You also said that's the reason why we don't say it by a lot of the mitzvahs.
So the Noit Behuda was against all the L'Shem Yichuds. It's amazing. I was giving a shem once in my shul, and we had a Chassidish Rebbe who was traveling, Chassidish Rosh Hashiva from the Slonim dynasty, was in my shul for Mincha. And I was going to give this share about this Noidi Behuda. And I'm like, how am I going to say this Noidi Behuda? So Baruch Hashem, he left after Mincha, he didn't stay for the share. Sitter, what was I going to say? It's a Noidi Behuda. Noidi Behuda was a Chosh of a Gadol. So Noidi Behuda writes very strongly in the Tshuva that this whole L'Shem Yichud is wrong. He says, what's the purpose of L'Shem Yichud? To get you to think about the mitzvah. He says, that's what the bracha does. So the Noidi Behuda holds, anytime you have a bracha on a mitzvah, you don't need L'Shem Yichud. But the bracha, but Sefiras HaOmer is more complicated than L'Shem Yichud. Because what do you say in the L'Shem Yichud? Henry Mochrim is the Mekai, Mitzvah Saseh, Shal Sefira, Shal Svarta Mochem. So the Achrayim, Mizam, and Rebel Yashad, they're all bothered. Mitzvah Saseh? Bravery Shainim holds Sefiras HaOmer, it's only the Rabban. So how can you say Mitzvah Saseh?
There's different types of Rabbans. You certainly have certain Rabbans that are patterned after the Raisa, and certain that made up whole cloth. Let's say, like Lulav, has patterned after the Raisa. And there's Omer, it's patterned after the Raisa.
Yes,
and
no. Well,
Correct,
I agree with you. But Shvizam is not exactly, it's slightly different than the way it was, right?
Well, that's the
Gemara.
That they have of
and then they didn't pull it out of left field. Right. They do it a little differently than it was maybe done in the Mikdash.
So maybe you can say
this to Rabban, it's all Zechel and Mikdash, it's not even patterned.
Ah, so that's the famous Biskarov, what does Zechel and Mikdash mean? Okay, there's a lot of Sefiras HaOmer here. But the point is that the Achreinim, Bisham Mizam, Rabbi Yashar, they're all bothered. How do you say something is a mitzvah saseh? So Bisham Mizam said, what's the big deal? Mitzvah saseh just means positive. It can mean the Rabban also. So therefore, this Gilui Mashal, I think, is totally in that Shaila. So the Gilui Mashal wants to answer for Rashi. And when Rashi said, umam mitzvah saseh shaychi, he didn't mean it's not possible to have the p'tur zman grama on a mitzvah saseh. He just meant that it's not possible to call it a mitzvah saseh because it's only the rabban. Okay. But let's just get to Tosfos' kash. We didn't get to it last week. We're not going to get to it this week. Okay. So what's Tosfos' kash on Rashi? Says Tosfos, umikomok emyeshi yashiv. Da halal de rabbanon. Frank Tosfos, Rashi's wrong. What's Rashi saying? Rashi saying that any mitzvah de rabbanon does not have the rules of zman grama. So the first kash that we have is why in lamda should be that way. Right? Why should it be that way? We have a rule called Tikkun Derabbanan Kein Derayse Tikkun. The rabbis like to copy the Torah. So if the Torah exempted women, so the rabbis should do the same. That's kash number one.
So maybe that's totally in the Chakir. How do you learn Shat?
Okay. Now we're getting, okay, we'll see. Again, Pashup Shat, when you come into this Tosfos, the kash on Rashi is why? Why would the Rabbanan Mitzvah be different? Again, Befrat, if you hold like the Avudraham, that the reason why women were exempt was for practicality, so it should definitely flow into the Rabbanans as well. But for Tosfos, it's a different kash. Tais is a kasha from Halo. Why? We know Halo is only the Rabbanan, and women are part of him Halo. How do you know women are part of him Halo? In the high time of the mitzvah shezma gramu. Kedamina v'sukkah. The Mishnah says in Sukkah that women are part of him Halo. Where does it say the Mishnah in Sukkah? It says in Sukkah, Misha Eved v'isha oikotan, mekarin oisoi oina achrein. If let's say you have the leader, a person saying the Halo would be an Eved v'isha oikotan, so you have to read after them. Ma shehin oimrim. De'ena shemea potam mekuriosin kimin shehin peturin. Mishnah says clearly in Masechta Sukkah that a lady cannot be moitzi in halal because a lady is pater from halal. Tosfos assumes the reason why a lady is pater from halal because it's time sensitive. So for Tosfos, if halal is time sensitive, it's only mitzvah drabbanan. So why are you using this zman grama dikur reason? I thought there's no p'tur zman grama.
No, I think because halal drabbanan is patterned after halal daraisa, so then you apply the same rule. Tefillah, there's no daraisa.
Good. So Belina, the next week we'll have to see how to be miyashiv this Rashi Tosfos. We'll see, does it have to do with the Chakira of Gusman or not? And Belineder, we'll go further into Gusman's Chakira. We'll take it another step further. Next week, we'll see, how do you define Zman Grama? That's next week's discussion, really. So, meaning, is Zman Grama that the mitzvah can only be done at a certain time because of halachic purposes, or even, let's say, for example, because of technical purposes? without giving away the whole show, there's a Taisus and Menachas we have to see, is smicha. You know, you smicha on an animal. So you have to be soimich the animal, then you do shechita. So Taisus says women are pata from smicha because it's time sensitive. Now, smicha is not time sensitive. Shechita is time sensitive, and smicha piggybacks off of shechita.
How is shechita time sensitive?
Because you. What? Can you call me shechet b'yom? You're not shechet b'laila.
That's time sensitive when you have a whole day?
Yeah, father. Every mitzvah is like that. Lulav is only during the day. Okay, so we'll have the next week. We'll get more into that. But we have to first finish this chakira of Guzman. We need to finish up more, a little bit more about how to understand Zman Groma. Then we'll figure out how to be Magdir Zman Groma and see where that takes us, Mr. Shem, next week. Okay.